Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. We're continuing our study through this book. Hebrews chapter 13. We will look this morning just at the first six verses. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. This is God's word. "Let brotherly love continue. Don't neglect to show hospitality, for by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. Remember those in prison, as though you were in prison with them, and the mistreated, as though you yourselves were suffering bodily. Marriage is to be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept undefiled, because God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never leave you or abandon you.' Therefore, we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?'" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The author of the book of Hebrews has written exalting Jesus Christ and demonstrating the fact that the old ways have been superseded, they've been replaced, and that we are now in the new covenant, and we don't go back and try and plug ourselves back into the old covenant. It doesn't work. Read the book of Galatians, and you see how the Apostle Paul addressed those who had been lied to by people who told them if they really wanted to be Christians, they were going to have to go back and become Jews first. Convert to Judaism, then you can be a Christian. God says no. What God did with the Jewish people was pointing toward what God was going to do with the new Israel, so that throughout the whole earth, those who belong to him are no longer identified as Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. As a matter of status, it doesn't mean we're not still Jews or Greeks. It means that's not our identity. It doesn't mean that we're no longer male or female. It means that's not our identity. No ethnic group is eliminated by the gospel. But those who are born again from every tribe and tongue and people and nation will be gathered around the throne, not saying, "Hey, look at me and who I am. I'm a Norwegian Christian." No. We'll be gathered around the throne saying, "Look at the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Glory to God." Our focus is no longer on pride in ourselves or our heritage. We can celebrate God's grace manifested in those things. But the amazing thing that should astound all of us is that he saved any of us. It is by grace that we're saved, not by our ethnicity, not by our traditions, not by our actions. It is by grace that we are saved. On the basis of that, then, this is how we're to treat one another. Let brotherly love continue. Keep on loving each other. That's what he's saying. This is God's word to us. Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples in John's gospel, said, here's what I want you to do. You want to do my will? Here's what I want. Love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? He laid down his life for us. Love one another. So let brotherly love continue. And don't neglect to show hospitality. What does that mean? It means you open your home. It means you don't keep people at bay. You don't try and say, this is mine. But those of us who are blessed with homes, with clothes, with food, need to recognize our responsibility as stewards of God to share what we have with those in need. And therefore, do not neglect to show hospitality. Don't overlook it. Don't fail to do it. For by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. Are there really angels out there? Yes. Well, what do they look like? Well, when they look like angels, they're terrifying. But the scripture makes it clear that sometimes angels go incognito. They go undercover, and people don't even realize that they're dealing with an angelic presence. So do you really think it's possible? Well, I think there's something even more exciting. Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it for the least of these brothers of mine, you've done it for me. And so as you show hospitality, it's fine to be thinking, you know, this one might be an angel. But it's more important as you love your brothers and sisters and show hospitality to the body of Christ especially, that you realize if you're doing it for him, he takes it personally. The Apostle Paul, at the time when he was confronted by the Lord on the road to Damascus, was asked the question, Saul, why do you persecute me? Because Saul was persecuting the body of Christ. What we do to show love to our brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus takes as having been done for him. Especially when we do it for the least, those who cannot pay us back.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And so he says, remember those in prison as though you were in prison with them, and the mistreated as though you yourselves were suffering bodily. What's being spoken of here is not just the prison population in general. It's the fact that Christians were being persecuted for their faith. They were being imprisoned. They were being mistreated. But this writer, God speaking through him, says, remember those folks and what they're going through as if it were happening to you. If Jesus took the persecution of the church as having been done to him when Saul was persecuting the church, how much more should we, if we are identified with Christ? We need to recognize that what is happening to our brothers and sisters right now in other countries and in this country, what is happening not just to them. It's happening to us. And there is injustice, and there is mistreatment, and we should feel the pain. Marriage is to be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept undefiled, because God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. I would recommend that you visit the Centers for Disease Control website, cdc.gov, and look up the statistics on sexually transmitted diseases in the U.S. right now. 20 million new cases every year. And the last stats that I saw showed an increase in several sexually transmitted diseases, an increase of 67% from one year to the next. It is exploding. It is an epidemic. Sexually transmitted diseases, according to the Centers for Disease Control, are at an all-time high in the U.S. That is absolutely horrifying if you understand the devastation that that brings, and even more so if you understand that God will judge. God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. And please notice, two things are emphasized here. Number one, it says, let the marriage is to be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept undefiled. Please understand this. It's not just regarding marriage as a good thing. The wedding industry in the U.S. is enormous. But tragically, many of those are remarriage and remarriage because we do not hold marriage in high esteem the way that we should, even among many who are married. And the marriage bed kept undefiled. I want our students to recite what you're supposed to have memorized. It's in your handbook. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. That is the biblical standard for sexuality. And so, the marriage bed must be kept undefiled because God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. Adultery is one kind of sexual immorality. But it isn't just the adulterers. It's all the sexually immoral. You say, well, I've never been married and I would never have a relationship with a married person. But if you engage in sex outside of marriage, you are engaging in sexual immorality. Understand that sex is designed by God. It's not something invented by man. It's not something that people came up with and God said, oh, I should have realized that might happen. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman. A man and a woman who are married, not who are planning to get married or contemplating marriage or already engaged to be married, who are married to each other. Because God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. We would not have nearly the problem with abortion that we have in this country if people would simply obey God regarding sex only being for those who are married. And I'll tell you another problem we wouldn't have. We wouldn't have this epidemic of sexually transmitted diseases. You see, that is the most horrifying thing about it. It's not, well, I might catch something then. You will not catch it if you will do what God says and only marry someone who's devoted to the Lord. The reason that half of the new STD infections, 20 million of them, that are new infections every year in the U.S., half of them occur among 15 to 24-year-olds, is because young people are still inclined to sin. And you don't have to. You say, well, everybody does it. That's a lie. There are young people who haven't been sexually active, even though they'd really want to be, even though they'd really like to be. Tons of movies produced here in the U.S. aimed at young people treat it as this huge norm that all young people want to have sex before they get married. They're trying to lose their virginity. There are tons of folks for whom that is true. But there are also young people who say no, who even though they desire sexual relationship, recognize that that is exclusively for after you're married, after you've made a commitment. We would not have all the illegitimacy and single parent homes that are creating havoc in this country for children, children growing up fatherless. And you look at the prison population and see what percentage of the prison population grew up in fatherless homes. And you'll begin to recognize that God knows what he's talking about. Children are supposed to be born into a loving home that models the relationship between Christ and the church, and very few are blessed with that privilege. Because our world is in all-out rebellion against God. And tragically, many in the church and many young people who grow up in church still drink from that poisoned well that says you want to have sex as soon as possible with as many people as possible. That is a lie from the pit of hell. When I was a teenager, I had friends who wanted to do all they could, go as far as they could, maybe not all the way to intercourse, but I want to do everything I can up to that point. Folks, the goal is to preserve yourself so that you can give yourself in marriage to the one that you intend to be with till death do us part. That's the goal. That's the goal. Because God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. And then he says, keep your life free from the love of money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people have misquoted that to say that money is the root of all evil. Well, first of all, it's all kinds of evil, not all evil. It means all kinds of evil come from not money, But the love of money. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Use money as a way of doing that. Do not love money. Keep yourself free from that. Keep your life free from the love of money. That means it's your responsibility. If you say, well, I can't help it. I was just born this way. I love money. I always have. Even as a kid, you know, I loved coins and things like that. Hey, it's fine to collect coins. It's not fine to love money. You can enjoy it. I definitely prefer to have money as opposed to being broke. I've been in both situations. The Apostle Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He said, I know what it is to have plenty, and I know what it is to be in want, and whatever the circumstances, I'm able to be content. That is a rich person. Do not love money. Choose not to. Well, what's the alternative? How am I going to get by if I don't have money? It doesn't say you're not supposed to have money. It says don't be in love with the money. Instead, be in love with God. Look, be satisfied with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. Therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Well, I'll tell you what man can do to you. They can kill you. No, they can kill your body. But if you are in Christ Jesus, you have everlasting life. If you know Jesus, then you have security that money can't provide. I know people who've lost millions of dollars. Imagine having millions to lose. But what happens? Well, if they know the Lord, they know that that money never was their security. And they know that they're going to be okay. But what about those of us who haven't lost millions? We're just working day to day, trusting God. We're going to be fine too. But what if we lose our home? What if we end up with a car that doesn't run and we can't afford to get a new one? What if we have to eat beans and rice meal after meal? Well, God didn't promise there wouldn't be hard times. He promised there would be hard times. But he will never leave us or abandon us. The widow who thought she only had enough to make a little food for herself and her son obeyed God and fed the prophet Elijah first. And when she did obey God, God provided an ongoing supply of flour and oil so that they all could eat day after day after day after day until the famine was ended. God will take care of you. God will not abandon you. Whatever comes, if you are his, he will see you through. Therefore, be content with what you have. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Father, you have provided everything we need in Christ Jesus. Help us to be focused not on what we don't have, but on what we do have in Christ. And we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.